Over 40 years ago, I was introduced to a new game, and I call it a game of names, or who is it, or I don't know what the name of it was, but what you do, and this varies depending on who's setting up the game, but here's the essence of what goes on. You sit around a circle, and somebody's it, and you can put them in the middle, and they've got in their minds a Bible character, and you start, and of course all of you can sound off, but the way we did it, you'd give one person a chance to ask a question. Well, the first question you ask, is it Old Testament? And they say, yes. Good. Then you say, is it a female? And they say, no. So now you know it's a male in the Old Testament. And then you keep asking questions until finally somebody comes up with who it is. Now, we had two interesting ones, and I believe at that time I probably used the name of Moses' mother. And she was a pretty famous character, the mother of Moses, but it lasted for a few times around the room before somebody came up with Jochebed. But then the smart guy in the group had a name, and we went around the circle. Finally, we even got to Acts 16, and we still couldn't get it, so we gave up. It was a man from Macedonia. So if you ever play that game, that's a good one to have, because not too many people are going to get the answer. We're going to talk about Caleb this morning. You try to pick out in this game an obscure character. Well, Caleb was a rather obscure character. He was obscured by who he was associated with Joshua. You see the two together. If you had asked me before I started this study to tell you something about Caleb, all I could have told you is he was one of the 12, along with Joshua, that went to spy out the land and came back and said, hey, we can do it. That's about all I knew about him. There's a lot more about Caleb than that. Caleb was a man who accomplished big things. We do well to emulate him, and we're going to go through the big things that he did, and I hope some of us will get challenged today to try to be like Caleb. Caleb was one of the chiefs of Judah. He was a prince, so to speak. He reported to the head man in Judah, the guy that was over all of Judah. He reported directly to him. He was one of the 12, as I've said, that went to spy out the land. Now, look at verse 1 in chapter 13 of Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel, for each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these are the names, verse 6, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Notice how this story starts. The story starts with God. You know, I thought about it. Every good story that I can think of starts with God. Look at the words. And the Lord spoke to Moses. And a good story is getting ready to get told. The Lord started it. The first thing I want us to look at, and you've got in your bulletin a major outline, and you might want to take some notes if you're a note taker under some of these points. But the first thing we want to look at is his leadership. And we see that in verse 1. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan. Send a man, everyone, a leader among them. Right at the end of the verse, a leader. And then you see at the end of verse 3, heads of the children of Israel. And then in verse 6, we see that it was Caleb. So Caleb is a leader. It's the first thing we see. First point out of that, a leader leads. Caleb was called upon to lead, and he did it. Secondly, a leader is not a leader by accepting a title, but he's a leader because people follow him. Look at verse 13. Same chapter. I'm sorry. Verse 13. Thus Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." He quieted. How did he quiet the people? Those 10 fellows were saying, "Hey, we can't do it." Did he say, "Hush"? Did he say it real loud? Did he say, "Silence"? I don't know. I kind of think he might have just stood up. If a group is talking and a leader stands up and they respect him, people are going to be quiet. But he could have given them this motion. But whatever he did, he quieted the people. It's a sign of leadership. There was a coach in Major League Baseball, now you young people won't remember this, but some of you older will, named Casey Stengel. Casey was quite a character. He was manager of the New York Yankees, and he set all kind of World Series records and winning and all this, and Casey decides to retire. And then Casey becomes, he was called upon to take over a new franchise in the National League. The New York Mets. And he had some players, but they weren't major league players. And they didn't play very well. And Casey didn't win many games. And one time they were playing, and they were ahead 5-4. And the fifth inning passed, and it started drizzling rain. Well, in the rules of baseball, if you played half the game, and the game is called because of rain, the team that's ahead wins. So Casey saw a chance for a rare win. So he walked out of the dugout and stuck out his hands like this. And the referees just looked away from him. The umpire just looked away from him. And so he looked up to the sky, wiped his glasses, and nothing happened. So Casey sent the next batter up to bat, not with a bat, but with an umbrella in his hands. You see, he had to get the attention. Well, Caleb had to get the attention of these men. So he quieted the crowd. But a leader is dependent upon the Lord. Verses 7, 8, and 9 in Numbers 14. I'm sorry, Numbers 14, 7, 8, and 9. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. And if the Lord, listen to this, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land." Verse 9. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear of the people of the land, for they are bread, and their protection is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." So a leader is dependent upon the Lord. But a leader is also confident. Chapter 13, verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Can you imagine following a leader said, "Well, you know, there's a chance we might win, or, you know, if everything goes right." No, a leader says, "Hey, we're going to do it." He has confidence. He's an optimist. Again, a Casey Stengel story. Casey was a character. You could talk about him for a long time, but another Casey story. The game was tied. It was the ninth inning. And the bases, Casey's team somehow got the bases loaded. And here was a chance. But lo and behold, he looks and the next fellow that's batting has the most strikeouts in the National League. He has a batting average below 100. And Casey said, man, what in the world? This guy is going to strike out. This fellow would swing at anything. He'd throw the ball in the ground, he would swing. Throw it up over his head, he'd swing. So what did Casey do? He sent him up to bat without a bat. The worst thing could happen, a pitcher throws three strikes, he was going to strike out anyway, Casey figured. But the pitcher might get wild and throw four balls and walk in the winning run. And that's just the opposite of Caleb. Caleb had confidence. Caleb was an optimist. Casey was a realist, but certainly not optimistic in this particular case. And then we realize that a leader leads when the majority disagree. He listened, but he disagreed with what the majority said. But you say, the majority is always right, right? Wrong. The Lord Jesus himself said that the way to life is narrow and few that be that find it. But the way to destruction is broad and crowded and many that be that find it. A leader leads when the majority disagree. That's, and I'm not giving any financial advice now, and I don't want anybody coming back to me and telling me they lost a fortune because of this. But there's something on stock traders called a contrarian theory. And a lot of men and women have gotten rich being contrarians. What they say, when the horde, when the mob is selling, buy. When the vast majority are buying, sell. And they've done that, and a lot of them have become very wealthy doing it. Bernard Baruch had a better formula than that, though. He said, making money in the stock market is easy. He said, what you do is buy low and sell high. But the point is that a leader is a leader when the majority disagree. Secondly, I want us to look not only at his leadership, but his dedication. His dedication is exhibited by his service, his obedience, and his passion. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Here's the Lord speaking, but my servant Caleb, because of his different spirit in him, and has followed me fully. For the sake of connection, verse 20, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Moses had prayed on behalf of the people. I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of them who rejected me see it. But Caleb, because he had a different spirit, was going to be able to see the land. Folks, the Lord couldn't say anything better about me or about you, that you're my servant. He was a dedicated servant. The Lord Jesus was the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. the Lord himself cried out of heaven, "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, a servant." But also his dedication is shown, and this is really the heart of the life of Caleb now that we're getting ready to come to. He follows hard after the Lord. Now, I like to take a passage and stay in the passage rather than going all through the Bible. But we're going to have to, this is worth the effort of doing a little page flicking to see what we're going to see. He follows hard after the Lord. That's his dedication. Numbers 14, verse 24. We just read it. "But my servant Caleb, because he is different in spirit in him, has followed me fully." Has followed me fully. He followed hard after the Lord. Now, Deuteronomy, next book, 1, verse 36. If you don't want to turn to it, just take the notes. Deuteronomy 1, verse 36. Well, 35 for the sake of connection. 34. "And the Lord heard the sound of his words and was angry, and took an oath, saying, 'Surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. He and his children I am giving the land which he walked, on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord.'" Now, Joshua, that's twice you've seen it now. Joshua, chapter 13, verse 8. "With the other half ...14:8. "Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." This is Caleb speaking. "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Next verse. "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's inheritance forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Verse 10. "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, 'These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old.'" Verse 14. "He's given Hebron, therefore, because Hebron became an inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to the day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." I stumbled through that, but this is something that's impressive. Five times it was said that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Five times. God said it twice. It doesn't get any better than that. But then Caleb said it of himself. And then Moses said it. And then, because we don't know who wrote the book of Joshua, somebody else said it in the verses we've just read, in the verse we've just read. Five times, three different books in the Bible, three or four different people stated this. Do you get the message? This man wholly followed the Lord as God. This wasn't any casual following the Lord. I've had the privilege of going to a few golf tournaments in my life. When one of those guys hits a 300-yard drive straight down the middle, suddenly his stride gets a little longer. Because I followed him, and I'm a fast walker, but you can't keep up with them. I blame it on the fact that they've got a straight line and I'm having to work through the crowd on the sidelines. But hey, they stride. And that's exactly what went on in the life of Caleb. He followed hard after the Lord. And then finally, turn back to Numbers 14. Finally, we see that he is deeply moved when Israel rebels. Israel rebelled against the Lord and said, hey, we want to go back to Egypt. We're getting ready to get killed. We're getting ready to try to take this land, and these people are going to kill us. Numbers 14, 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. They were really upset. When you tear your clothes up, you're emotionally moved by what's going on. How do you remain dedicated? By rededicating yourself every day. You know, you go to revival services and they call for people that want to be saved and people that want to join the church and people that want to rededicate their lives. And sometimes we might be critical that they're trying to draw too big a crowd down front. But this rededicating your life is something we should do every day. Lord, this is your day. I'm your servant. I dedicate myself to your activities. We've looked at Caleb's leadership. We've looked at his dedication. Now I want us to look at his reward. He gets just a little ink in the Bible, but he gets a lot of rewards. And I think that'll be true of some of us. Looking over the audience, and I'm included, there are a few of us that the cakes are getting real big if we put all the candles on them at birthday time. But there's a day coming when we're going to be rewarded, when we go to be with the Lord. What we see in Numbers 14, verse 24, is that he won. 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went. His descendants shall inherit it. He won. He reached the promised land. Only two of them. You realize that? Only two that were adults at the time that Israel blasted the Lord for not taking care of him and wanted to go back to Egypt. The whole adult population was banned from the promised land. Only Caleb and Joshua went into the foreign land, into the promised land. Only two. So he won, but he lived. In Numbers 14, 36 through 38, we realize that the 10 people that came back with a bad report, God sent a plague and killed all 10 of them. Killed everybody that went, the 12 that went, except Caleb and Joshua. So he lived. And look, I understand the aches and pains of old age. But I thank the Lord for giving me a long life. And we should do the same. Hey, let us live. If he wants to cut it off, it's just like that. It happens. He lived. He received the land of Hebron. We read in Joshua 14, 13, and 14. He experienced peace. We see that at the end of Joshua 14, verse 15, the latter part of it. He experienced peace in the whole land. His story was preserved, is forever recorded. And best of all, he reached the real promised land. He said a day, praising the Lord whom he served. Lastly, we'll look at his longevity, and that's repetitious, and I started to cut this out, but it's enough good in it to just run through it. His life was spared. We know that when the other ten received the plague. His age was stated twice in the Bible. 40 when he went to spy out the land, and when he was 85, he said, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. I wish I could say that, but I can't. But he said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. And I'm ready to go take the land. His life is recorded in scriptures, we've already said. So it'll live forever. And today he lives forever in heaven. Joshua was a leader in the things of God. Caleb was a leader. See, it's easy to overlook Caleb. That's the reason I picked him, because the two are always associated. And it's no question that Joshua got a lot of more ink and probably deserved it. But we overlook these people. Caleb was a leader in the things of God. He was a dedicated follower of the Lord. He followed hard after the Lord. He was observed by the Lord and rewarded by the Lord. And his name will live forever. I want to close with this story. There are two rivers that arguably are the two most famous rivers in the world, the Nile and the Amazon. And I'd like to tell you a little something about the two because it illustrates this story. And this is particularly important to those of us who are getting up in years, I think. Here's the Nile, the longest river in the world, 4,181 miles long. It touches 8 countries as it runs through Africa. At its source, the White Nile and the Blue Nile come together. And there's a terrible turbulence. The water just boiling and those two rivers come together. So the source of the Nile begins with a mighty turbulence. But after a 4,000-mile journey, the Nile gently dies in the sea. The Amazon, the greatest river in the world in terms of the volume of its flow. Its length is approximately the distance from New York City to Rome. That's the length. Comes right across South America. The river starts with a trickle high in the Andes, about 100 miles from the Pacific Ocean. It ends in Brazil, pouring fresh water 100 miles out into the ocean, to the Atlantic Ocean. It almost starts at the Pacific and it ends at the Atlantic, pouring fresh water out into the ocean itself. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Amazon. I want to be like Caleb. I want to end with a flourish. You say, well, I can't do what I understand that. I can't do what I used to do. But we saw a picture of a lady that Paul and Barb had gone to visit. And every time I talked to you, she said, Henry, I prayed for you. There's not a one of us that can't pray. There's not a one of us that can't ask a neighbor to take a walk with them. There's not a one of us that can't go and say, hey, let's have breakfast, let's have lunch together. We might be restrained by age, but there's still a lot we can do. And we can go out with a flourish if God is with us. And that's what I want to, the thought I want to leave you with today. Let's be like Caleb, a man who finished well. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you for this wonderful character that we've studied, that before we studied him, Lord, we didn't know much about him. But when we came to know him, we love him, Lord. And we love you more because he served you well and left a great example for us. So, Lord, we conclude this service and think about two mighty rivers and want to make a decision to be like the one that finishes well. God, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.